We have tried to explain how the world works, that things spiritual or physical are preceded by things that are spiritual. God troubled them with every kind of distress. And if God is your problem, then only God can be your solution, because you have to get his attention. I now want to continue this theme. Tomorrow we're going to talk about a strategy, a plan for you, your church, and your community. We're going to go into a plan. But I want to continue with understanding the theology, but this time I want to move from 2 Chronicles to the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews was a book written by its undesignated author to Christians who were struggling, Jewish Christians who were struggling and who were considering bailing out, walking away, giving up, throwing in the towel because of all the trouble that was surrounding them and their newfound faith. Many of these people had been saved for up to 30 years, and yet they were struggling with the pull to renege back away. Many of you perhaps come, some of you have come, because you've told us, in deep struggle with whether you should continue, whether it's worth the pain, the problems, the processes, the difficulties that you're facing in ministry. And we hope that your time with us and us with you will cause you to rethink any concept of giving up or throwing in the towel. Many of us, most of us, if not all of us, set our alarm clocks or iPads or smartphones or what have you to wake us up, to remove us from slumber to action, because it goes off in the morning and it says, get up. It's time for you to move. You can ignore it. You can push snooze to delay it. But ultimately, an alarm clock is an interruption. It interrupts sleep. It interrupts snoring. It interrupts dreams. One of the worst times an alarm clock can go off is during a good dream. In a good dream, and all of a sudden it gets interrupted by an alarm that wakes you and that stirs you and moves you from the state you're in, calling you to another state that you must now move to be awakened, to get dressed, to go to work. So it is an interruption in the process you've been experiencing for 6-8 hours or more. We have an alarm clock that goes off here in the book of Hebrews as he comes to a conclusion in chapter 12 of the book of Hebrews. And he says in verses 25 through 29, see to it that you do not refuse him who is speaking. For if those did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, much less will we escape who turn away from him who warns from heaven. And his voice shook the earth then, yet now he has promised, saying, yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heaven. This expression, yet once more, denotes the removing of those things which can be shaken, as of created things, so that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we have received a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe. He talks about over and over again this concept of shaking. That is, this concept of awakening us to a new reality by disturbing our current circumstances. Please notice it is God doing the shaking. So he speaks of this disturbance, this interruption that affects the order of things, that is disruptive in nature. when you look through the Bible, whenever God wanted to create something new or call the need for something to change, he would cause or allow a shaking to occur or a crisis of some sort that disturbed something. When he was setting the children of Israel free, he allowed them to be caught in an unfixable situation. Pharaoh on one hand, the Red Sea on the other, a trap that they had no way to get out of. And so that question was to Moses, have you brought us here to die? Well, God put them in a shaky situation because he was getting ready to do something that they had never seen before. He's getting ready to open up the Red Sea so that they could walk through. Over and over again throughout the scripture, when he told the disciples, let us go to the other side, in Mark 4, and he says a storm, a lilac came up, the Greek word for storm, and their safe travel was being disturbed by something outside of their control. It was being disturbed. In fact, it was so disturbing, it challenged their theology because they said, carest thou not that we perish? It looked like, God, you don't even care. Martha and Mary said to Jesus, when he delayed coming, when their brother was sick, after telling them that their brother's sickness was not unto death, if you would have been here, our brother would not have died. So you're telling us one thing, it's not unto the death. You delay so that he dies, and we are so confused. That's what we call a shaky situation. When God allows or places you into a scenario that is contradictory in nature and disturbs the order of things, it is a disruption in your life, your world, or your ministry. It's a divine disturbance, if you will. So I want to give you who are here today in particular, who may be struggling in life and ministry, or who when after you leave, you run into something you did not plan on, and there is a divine disturbance, an interruption that God creates or allows in your life, that's good news in a bad situation. All of us knows what it is to have a stomach ache so bad that it makes you either throw up or want to throw up. Well, the reason that you feel that way is because something wrong. Something is not right inside of you. And when it gets so bad you have to throw up, it now gets even messier. One, you're feeling bad. When you throw up, it's messier. But you always will notice one thing when you vomit. You feel better after it comes out. In other words, it's a messy situation that winds up relieving you of a problem that you had. God allows and sometimes creates disturbances in order to create or craft something new. He calls this shaking or disturbance. When God allows things to get out of hand, shaking. When he allows things to go crazy and you can't fix it, that means he doesn't expect you to fix it. If he's blocked you at every level, if he's gotten in the way of every righteous effort you've put forth, it is because he's taken this thing on himself and he's placed it outside of your reach independently of his engagement. You and I are living in a world that's being shaken on every single level, for God disturbed them with every kind of distress. But the reason God creates or allows a disturbance, whether it's nationally, internationally, or within our own life experiences, is because he's trying to call attention to something spiritual, even though the disturbance may be physical or social or economic or relational. He makes the distinction here between the shaking he does on earth and the shaking he does from heaven. The shaking on earth has to do with something physical. The shaking from heaven has to do with something spiritual. So when God allows or creates a shaking on earth, is because heaven has something new to say. When your children and my children were growing up, they would often come and shake our leg, grab our pants. You know what they were saying by shaking us? Pay attention to me. It's a cry for attention. So they would shake us or pull us or jerk us. And the longer we took to respond, the harder to pull. Because they were demanding to be heard. Some of you had grandmothers like my grandmother. Aunt B, or Grandma B. Some weekends I would spend over my grandmother's house. And I'd be over my grandmother's house, and I'd be watching Howdy Doody. Anybody old enough to remember Howdy Doody? It's Howdy Doody time. Remember that? Howdy Doody. See, you young bucks won't know anything about Howdy Doody, but some of the old folks will know about Howdy Doody. And you'd be sitting down watching. I'd be watching Howdy Doody. And it would start thundering and lightning. And Grandma would say, turn it off. And I don't know why it would always thunder and lightning in the middle of Howdy Doody. I mean, it just, right there at the good part, turn it off. It would tick me off. Talking about turn it off. Turn it off. My grandma would say, yeah, because God is talking. Anybody had a grandma like that? They make you shut it down. We had to turn the TV off, turn the lights off. Everything was off. Sometimes, yeah, we got a lot of grannies in here. Sometimes you had to turn it off and go to bed. It's 12 o'clock noon, and you got to turn it off and go to bed. Make you not want to go to grandma's house again. Because you turn it off. And she's dead serious. God is talking. In other words, the disturbance up there meant you had to change something down here. Well, Grandma wasn't totally wrong, because what the author of Hebrews says to these Jewish Christians whose lives are being disturbed is that the heavenly has something to say to the earthly. The spiritual has something to say to the physical. The eternal has something to say to the temporal. So if your life, if your ministry, or your world, certainly our world, is being disturbed by something outside of your control, push pause. God is talking. And he's talking, watch this, through the circumstance of shaking. Disturbance. Now, we know God speaks based on his word. We've established that. We all know that. But when he wants to freshly apply divine truth to your life experience, he often does it through disturbance. What he calls shaking. This is taken from Haggai chapter 2. This is a quote from Haggai chapter 2, around verse 6 and verse 7. He quotes Haggai was telling the people that because they had drifted spiritually, God was creating a shaking in their midst. And the shaking was to get them to reprioritize God in their midst. So the disturbances of God, the shaking, is designed to call your attention to the spiritual. When you see bad weather, when you see bad weather come your way, you inevitably will go to the weatherman. Now, you may listen to the word of the weatherman every day. But when you see bad weather coming in, or hear that bad weather coming in, when you hear there are possible tornadoes and it's in your vicinity, you're going to find the weatherman. This is not just casual. Listen, why? Because you want somebody to tell you what's really going on. Because this could affect you. You want, in other words, you're drawn to the weatherman at a higher level if there's a disturbance in the atmosphere where you live. You'll turn on the weather channel. You'll listen to it over and over again because you got a shaky situation going on. When there is an earthquake, things that are attached in the vicinity of the earthquake will be affected. Things that are, if you're in an airplane, you're not affected because you're not attached. When God creates a disturbance in your life, world, and ministry, or as he's doing now in a nation, what he's doing is, apart from the return of Jesus Christ, seeking to craft something new. And I would like to submit what God is doing is an alarm clock to wake up his church. That the shaking that we are seeing and experiencing on a national scale is a wake-up call to a sleeping church who is not being what God has created the church to be. It is to erode the stability of one realm to create the magnification of another realm, the heavenly into the historical. Most of you ladies have had children, and that means you've gone into labor. Labor is good news in a painful situation. If you're in labor, you're in pain. If you're in labor, you're hurting. You're contracting. But the only reason you're going through labor is because a birth is in process. You're going through the pain of a deliverance. When God wants to deliver something new, he often creates a laborious laboring situation. A negative, painful, disturbing, interruptive scenario because he's crafting something outside of the norm. When you have a funeral, that's a painful situation. You're dealing with the loss, but nothing makes the eternal more real than the pain of a funeral. That's why we use funerals always to preach the gospel, because people are tuned into eternity at the funeral of somebody who's passed in history. So they're paying much more attention to the heavenly because they're facing the ultimate end of the earthly. The shaking of the earthly due to death calls attention to the eternal. So what he says to you and me is that there is a shaking going on created or caused by God, because he says, I will do the shaking. I'm talking. I'm speaking. I have something to say. They don't use them anymore like they used to, but they used to use, when searching for gold, shaking tables. And these shaking tables would be vibrating tables that would just shake back and forth, because the gold would get covered over by the dirt. And the gold being covered over by the dirt, you couldn't quite see what was gold versus what was pure dirt. And so they would get these shaking tables that would vibrate. They used to do it by hand when you watch the Old West. Then when batteries came in, then it would be battery-powered shaking tables. And it would shake the dirt off of the gold so that what was valuable would be visible and what was non-valuable would be dispersed and a separation would be occurring. When God wants us to be separated from the way we're going because we've gotten too associated with the secular culture, He'll shake things up. When God wants us to do something different with our life or ministry, even if he wants to move you to another ministry, he will shake things up. It won't all be smooth sailing. Why? Because he wants to interrupt the comfort. He wants to interrupt where you are right now. And so, particularly if we're not listening to him, he will shake things up, allow things to get worse, which is why in Israel, it says, until they cried unto the Lord, it says, then he heard them. As long as they were comfortable in Egypt, no message. But as soon as he let Pharaoh go left on them and tell them to build more and to do more without giving them the help to do it, and they cried because of their weariness, it says, and then God, he delivered his people because he had to shake them loose from Egypt. One of the reasons our country and our culture is deteriorating is that the church hasn't been shaken loose from the culture. We become so secular with the culture, so worldly with the culture, so compromising with the culture that we've lost our uniqueness and gone to sleep, so he has to shake things up. So he's allowing the culture to bring chaos to the church, in order to wake up the church from heaven to be what we ought to be in history. Anybody here ever remodeled your house? Remodeled, done any remodeling your house? Well, that means that you had to create a mess before you got a miracle. You had to tear some stuff down before you could build some stuff up. You had to create a messy situation, but not because you were trying to create a mess. It was because you were trying to create something new. And because you were trying to create something new, things had to be shaken and broken down and torn down for the creation of what you wanted new. So when God told them in Haggai, which is where this is quoted from, I'm shaking things up, he tells them, I'm shaking things up to bring you back to the place that I want you to be. So the reason why you and I are experiencing the shakeup that's happening in the culture is to wake up the church. It's a wake-up call. It's an alarm clock to the people of God that we could have all these churches with all these programs and all these preachers and all these books and all these activities and still have all of this mess. The influence is gone because we become the secular church. So he's shaking things up right now in our lives, in our families, and in our ministries. So now, what are we to do with the discontinuity that we are experiencing? What are we to do with the way the secular world is either ignoring us or trying to redefine us? Well, we're told in verse 25, see to it that you do not refuse him who is speaking. See to it that you do not refuse him who is speaking. You know, we used to say to our children, you used to say to yours, didn't you hear me? Didn't you hear what I just said? In other words, they were refusing. Now, you can refuse in a number of ways. You can just come out and say no. That'll get you slapped. You go out and say no. Or you can say nothing and just not do anything. And so you're still refusing by your action, even though you haven't voiced it. He says, when I'm shaking things, I'm speaking. And when I am speaking, and you know I'm speaking because I'm shaking, okay? You know he's speaking because he's shaking. Therefore, do not refuse. So you have the word, but you also have the circumstances that are consistent with the word. And he says, do not refuse me. Fort Worth is 30 miles from Dallas. Fort Worth is 30 miles west of Dallas. It's part of this huge metroplex that we now live in where there are mid-cities. So you go from Dallas through mid-cities, you know, Arlington and Grand Prairie, and you wind up in Fort Worth 30 miles down the road west of here. I was asked to go speak to a church in Fort Worth. They faxed to my assistant Sylvia the directions to the church in Fort Worth. And so she gave me the directions to the church in Fort Worth. So I put the directions by my on the passenger side, looked at them, and then began my trip down Highway 20 West, going to Fort Worth to speak at this church at 7 o'clock that night. I looked down at my directions, and it told me the exit to get off. So I got off the exit, and I turned left. I turned left, and they told me, drive a little bit, and you'll see the church. So I went, but I was not seeing any church. But I'm driving, I'm looking for the church. And it's like 6:45, so it's getting a little close here. And I got to speak, so I got to find this church, but I don't see the church. So I pull over to a 7-Eleven. And I say, sir, I'm trying to find such and such church. He says, oh, yes, no, you haven't gone far enough. Keep going. Oh, I said, okay. So I got in the car, and I kept going because of what the person at 7-Eleven told me to do. I just kept going. But now I'm noticing I'm in the country. There's sheep, there are cows, there are ducks, there are goats. So if this is a church out here, Dr. Doolittle is the pastor, because I'm seeing nothing but animals out here. This is. So I said, something's not right here. I turn back around and head back the other way. I come up to a light going back the other way, and this gentleman pulls up beside me in the next lane, and I tell him to wind down your window. And I said, I'm looking for this church. Oh, he says, oh, no problem. Just go to the next light, turn left, and you'll see the church. I went to the next light, turned left. Now I'm in a neighborhood. Houses right up against each other. So if there's a church in here, it's a house church, because there's nothing but houses in this neighborhood. So I am now frustrated, and it's 6:55. My engagement is 7 o'clock. I'm just beside myself. I happen to look to my right, and there's this paper that I had been given by Sylvia when I first left from Dallas. I pick up the paper. I reread the directions, and it says, exit here, so far so good. When you get off the exit, turn right. I went left. The reason that I went left is because I was leaning to my own understanding. In other words, I skipped what had been written. See, I did enough of what had been written to get me close. But then I skipped what was written and leaned to what I thought I should do. But what made it worse is I asked folk along the way who I thought ought to have known, since they lived there, where I should go. But not only did I ask them, I obeyed them. I did exactly what them people told me to do, and they led me further astray. But when I went back to what had been written by the pastor who should know where his church is located, I retraced my steps, went back to the exit, went right, and one block up the street was the church. I wasted a lot of time and energy by trying to figure this thing out myself, by doing enough to get me in the vicinity, and then veering off to my own understanding. He says, I want you to pay attention to what God has to say and not be distracted by what's happening around you when I'm talking. Many times our kids will say, but mama, my friends say. My friends? They don't live here. They don't take care of you. They don't feed you. They don't clothe you. What do you mean, your friends? He says, do not ignore him who is speaking. I want you to give God your undivided attention in the chaos. And these folks were in the middle of chaos. Folks were being locked up in jail, he says, in chapter 13. In chapter 10, he says folks were losing their property. So that was a chaotic situation. Now, on tomorrow, when we get into the plan, we're going to be more specific about what we ought to do. The one thing I want you to know here is that God, like in 2 Chronicles, is doing the shaking. Why? Verse 28. Since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken. I would call this a kingdom agenda shaking. He says the shaking that is going on is related to a kingdom. It's a kingdom issue taking place here, and he wants to show you something about the kingdom. What does he want to show you as we look at the shaking all around us, in our lives, in our families, in our nation? He wants to show you in the midst of shaking a kingdom which cannot be shaken. So notice the flip of language. That in everything is collapsing around you. And the reason he's allowing all this collapse is to show you a realm that does not collapse. He shakes to show you the unshakable. He creates a disturbance to show you what cannot be disturbed. In other words, he's revealing his kingdom in the midst of the kingdoms you have come to depend on the systems that you have become comfortable with, on the secularism that you have become dependent upon. He says, at the moment that your world is in chaos, don't let that drive you from me. Let that drive you to me, because I want to show you something that does not shake. When I think about this, I think about a situation that happened in the Old Testament when Joshua fought the Battle of Jericho. And of course, he does reconnaissance around the wall. He's preparing for the great battle. And then there are two spies who are sent into town to spy out the land. These two spies go to the red light district. They go inside Rahab's house, because it would be expected that men would go inside of Rahab's house. So they viewed that as the most unsuspecting place they could go. But somehow word got out that these Jewish spies were in Rahab's house. Rahab says to the spies, now I heard about you and your God. The word has gone out about you and your God. And I believe that word, and therefore, I am going to hide you. They come to the house. Rahab lies. There's a whole theology about lying in that, okay? And when it's okay to lie. There is a time when it's okay to lie. You could come back tomorrow. We'll talk about that. But she lies. Then she lets them out of the house by a scarlet thread. Or rope. The two spies say to her, this city is going down. This city is about to be destroyed. But here's what we want you to do. We want you to gather your family into this house. And when we come back and shut this place down, everybody in your house who is with you at the time we come back will be salvaged. Now, there is a verse in the story that many people have not read. We all know the walls of Jericho came tumbling down. But let me tell you a verse in the story. The verse in the story says, Rahab's house was embedded in the wall. Yes, sir. So it wasn't a house in the city. It was a house embedded into the wall. It was built into the wall. So that meant when the whole city fell down, a piece of the wall stood. Because her house was in the wall. It was attached to the wall. So her house stood when the society fell down. The question we have to face is, will God's house stand when the society is collapsing around it? Or have we so associated with the society that when the society collapses, we collapse with it because we were not distinct to it? We were not the unique place that God has created the church to be, to bring it back to God, because we were part of it. One time, my wife and I don't remember whether I brought this up before or not, but it bears repeating. We were in New York, and we were at Macy's. We were coming by Macy's. And we were coming by Macy's, and there's this large crowd of people standing outside the window. And so, curiosity, you know, why are all these people standing outside the Macy's window? When we got a little closer, we noticed that there was a living statue in the window. There was this woman who was in this statuesque position, but we knew it wasn't a mannequin because the eyes were blinking. So the eyes would blink, but nothing else budged. I mean, this woman just stood there, stoic, just didn't move. Nothing else budged. She just was there, except the eyes were blinking. Well, the reason people had gathered was because of all the people trying to get her to move. Yeah, people making my, yeah, people doing all kind of crazy stuff to get this woman to move, because she wouldn't budge except the eyes blinking. So she's standing there. I mean, she's standing there forever with the eyes blinking, but nothing else moving. In other words, what was happening on the outside did not affect her on the inside. She stood her position in spite of the distractions trying to distract her. They were talking, they were walking, they were moving, they were jerking, they were jumping, but she wouldn't move. Now, there was one simple reason why our girl wouldn't move, because the one paying her was on the inside. She was being paid by Macy's. Macy's was paying her to stay still and to hold her ground. So she was not to acquiesce to the distractions on the outside when she was being paid by somebody on the inside. You and I have been bought with a price on the inside. We are to hold our position in the midst of the shaking, because God is up to something when he allows the shaking to occur. What are we to do when we see everything shaking around us? When the disturbances on the individual level and the cultural level and the community level and our own levels and the ministries, things are out of whack and out of sorts, created by God. For it says, I will do the shaking. What are we to do? He says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to show gratitude and offer an acceptable service. I want you to show gratitude. I want you to be grateful in a shaky situation. Interesting. And in fact, not only do I want you to be grateful, but I want you to improve your service. I want you to serve me more and serve me better, even though everything is shaking around you. Well, wait a minute now. What exactly am I supposed to be grateful for? Because everything is so shaky. You're not being grateful for the shaking. You're being grateful for the reason for the shaking. And the reason for the shaking is to create something new. God shakes things to create something different, new. Whether that's to move you to a different place or to change things in the place you're getting. He says, pay close attention and be grateful. We talked about Jesus feeding the 5,000. He asked his disciples, he said, now where are we going to feed all these people? Philip said, I don't know. We don't have that kind of money. Andrew said, all I see is a guy out here with some sardines and crackers, you know, two fish and five barley loaves. He said, tell the boy, bring it to me. He brought the two fish and barley loaves to Jesus. Jesus took the two fish and barley loaves, and it says, and he gave thanks. Well, how are you going to give thanks for not enough? How are you going to give thanks for his insufficiency? Because this is not nearly enough. For 5,000 men, it says, not counting women and children. So you got maybe 20,000 people listening to Jesus Christ. All of them are hungry. They want to be fed. McDonald's is closed. So the question is, how are we going to eat? And it says, and Jesus blessed it and gave thanks. Because the reason he gave thanks in this impossible situation is he knew his father was up to something. See, unless you know God is up to something, you're going to shake with the shaking. But when you assume God is talking in the midst of the shaking to reveal the unshakable kingdom over which he rules, you can give thanks in a bad situation. He said, and go deeper in your service, more passionate in your preaching, more commitment in your ministry. Did you know when it rains really hard, that fish go deeper? Rain can only penetrate 25 feet below the surface of the water in a hard rain. Thunderstorm or whatever, it can only penetrate 25 feet. So the fish go 26 feet. In other words, the worse the rain gets, the deeper they go. So if it's raining and there's a thunderstorm in your life, in your world, in your ministry, surrounding you, now is the time to go deeper. Now is not the time to flop around on the surface. Now is the time to go deeper. Why? Because God is up to something. Grandma was right. God is talking. And you can give thanks for what God is doing that has not yet been manifested. That's not now obvious. You can't see it. You don't know how in the world can he use this. This does not make sense. And it helps your people, too, to know when their worlds get shaken, if they are willing to give God thanks and go deeper with God in the midst of their shaking, he will reveal something that cannot be shaken. Our nation is in trouble. In every direction it is shaking. God wants to manifest his unshakable kingdom. But we're the kingdom people. So he wants to manifest it through his people. That is, through the church. And he tells you why. Be acceptable, give acceptable service with reverence and awe. And he says, for our God is a consuming fire. Wow. Our God is a consuming fire. When you cook, when my wife cooks, You put the food in the fire. It's hot inside there. It's hot inside the oven or on the stove. That food has been lit up. But it's being lit up for a purpose. We didn't start it out raw. But the fire is designed to cook it. I've seen my wife go in and pull it out and stick a fork in it. She's sticking a fork in it to see if it's ready, if it's done. I've seen her pull it out and then push it back in. I was ready for the deliverance. But the deliverance wasn't ready for me because it wasn't ready yet. So she keeps pushing it back in until it's done. And the reason she keeps pushing it back in is she's preparing it for the king. So, since she's preparing it for me, it's got to be right. I don't need no blood in my fried chicken. I want to make sure that thing is done. She wants to make sure it's done, it's ready. On Sunday morning, when you're getting ready for church, or on Saturday night when you're preparing for church Sometimes you got to iron what you're going to wear. That means you got to put some fire on it. You got to heat it up. You got to run the iron over it. It's hot. You got steam coming up because it's hot. You're putting the fire on it because you're trying to consume some wrinkles. You're trying to get rid of some stuff that don't belong. You're trying to get rid of some stuff that's inappropriate. You're trying to get rid of some stuff that ought not be there. And so you put a consuming fire on it to consume the wrinkles. There's only one reason you want those wrinkles consumed, because you're getting ready to wear it. Because you plan to wear it and you want to look good in it, you consume what is not consistent with it. You consume what's not consistent with it because you plan to wear it, so you have to get rid of anything that doesn't belong to it. Well, God wants to drape himself in the church. He wants to drape himself in the people of God, and he wants to look good. But he knows there's some wrinkles among his people. There's some wrinkles in his church, which causes the world to look at the church and say, that don't look good. I'm not impressed with that. So what he does is shakes some stuff up and creates some fire so he can get rid of some wrinkles, so he can look good when he steps out into a world that's been ironed by his goodness, his glory, and his grace. So when God puts the fire on your life and on your ministry, it's going to be hot. It's going to be uncomfortable. But when you respond to him who speaks, you're going to come out looking good. When he finishes doing with the church in a culture that's gone crazy, what he intends to do. So when God allows shaking, he allows shaking for a purpose. On tomorrow, we're going to talk about a plan to return the church back to the place where God can use it in a culture that has gone shaky. May God bless you richly.